I'm going to be reading the scripture to you. The scripture reading for the day we found in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. And it reads as follows. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one for a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
I don't look like Travis, do I? It is good to be here again. Though it's a little warmer this time. Though I was telling Willard, I said, I think you guys sang the same song in choir, the last one, God's Will. I said, but this time I knew the words, so I could get back there and do a little dance. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of update to how this process has been working. As you know, that we have been talking to Willard for a number of years. Well, first of all, let me just say this. Willard is among our top five pastors, and I don't think anybody here would argue that point. And if you do, we'll meet in the back afterwards. And I'm bigger than most of you, so. one of the things that in Grace Communion that we really like to do is we like to honor our pastors, and we like to, one of the ways to honor them is to allow them to retire when they want to retire or when it comes to that point, and give them the opportunity to do different things in ministry. And so that when they tell us that that is their desire, that begins a process for us in trying to find candidates for a congregation. And the first thing we do is talk to the pastor. And so I was here some time ago and spent quite a bit of time with Willard and with Brenda just talking about the congregation. And of course, I've been here a couple of times and was here on your inaugural service and was blessed to be here for your 50th at the, I don't remember where we met. It's some big hall in Tinley Park, I think it was. And and I've gotten to know a few of the elders and leaders. So the first step was to talk to Willard and Brenda about what kind of a person we're looking for. And, of course, that's not really true. The first step is to seek God's will and to ask God to lead somebody here. And so then we go through a process of candidates, and we talk to different people. And we weed out the ones that just are not going to work. It's not like we have a huge pool of candidates. It's not like we have 30 people vying for the job. It's just that we have people who are interested in ministry, and so we talk to them. And we ran across Travis and Becky several years ago, and Travis has been a consultant for many of our GCI congregations in helping renewal process. And even to date, he is consulting one of our churches in Alabama. I think Rainey is in Alabama. Do you know Becky? I think it's in Alabama. You don't know. Yeah, that's his job. He's consulting one in New York. And we've asked him to consult one in New York, Rochester, with Leonard Banks. And I think he's also going to be working with George Hart and a few others in Cincinnati. And so we've been trying to get him on staff full time. And so we started talking to Becky and Travis about Chicago. So Travis said, well, let's come up there and look around. So the first thing we did, we got here Thursday, and Friday we walked the streets in Harvey and met some people and talked to some people. There's a church right down the road, about four or five blocks over maybe, And they were having a summer program for children, and we met the deacon there, and we spent about an hour with him just talking about Harvey, talking about what Harvey needs, and talking about working together with Harvey as a church. And then we met people around the neighborhood here, talked to people. And last night, Travis and I, we were outside our hotel, and we met some people from Harvey and talked to them for about an hour. And, I mean, it's just like these divine appointments just kind of are just amazing. And so Travis and Becky are here to look at the situation. We met with the leadership team yesterday for, it was supposed to be a two-hour meeting, I think, and it ended up being four or maybe five or however long. Good meeting, good questions, and we're really excited so far with how the process is working. So, of course, one of the things we ask is the candidate to come in and just introduce himself to you as a congregation. Not that we are not a democratic congregation, you know, it's not like we're going to have a survey and you vote for it, but we just want you to say, you know, we like this guy, or, I don't know, pastor. And the pastor can say, well, there's another side of it maybe you need to see. So it's, you know, we communicate. It's relationship, isn't it? And so we're thrilled to have him, and so I'm thrilled to be able to come out and introduce him and to be a part of this process. And if you have any questions, you can see me. I'll be here around after church, and you should have my, if you don't have it, you should have my email address, or you can get it from Willard, you know, because I'm Willard's pastor, so we communicate a lot. So anyway, without any further ado, let me introduce Travis to you and ask him to come out and share a little bit about himself. Travis.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for having us here. I got to tell you, it is an absolute joy and a privilege and an honor to be here with you this morning and to just be, what a great time worshiping together. I mean, what a great time celebrating the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God and being able to respond to that. I'll tell you, this has been, for us, we've been in a lot of churches. Becky and I have worked with a lot of churches. We have visited a lot of churches. We've helped and sat down with a lot of churches, and there are some places where you come together. And I was just telling Pastor Willard, I said, you know, there have been some times and some places where you walk in and people don't welcome you. They don't look at you. They don't smile at you. And then they get up to worship God, and it's like, praise Jesus. And that is so not here, and that is such a good thing. It was so good to be able to come and just worship and be celebrating what God is doing. And I feel like this for us is a great time together because we get together to celebrate God, lift Jesus high, give him glory, and be able to say God has a purpose and a plan for us here this morning. Yes? Let me just tell you, what I want to do this morning is just tell you a little bit about myself, about our family, about who we are and what we do, and then I want to encourage you with the scriptures, and I want to encourage you with what God is saying to us this morning. We read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But first, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Travis. My beautiful wife, Becky, is sitting right over there. We have two younger children named Kaylin and Amelia, 12 and 9, who greet you this morning from Portland, Maine. They were not able to come out with us. They're hanging with the in-laws, with their grandparents, and just having a great morning, but they wanted me to be sure. They're like, Daddy, make sure you say hello for us. Let them know that we are saying hello and that we are greeting them. And that was one of those things where we wanted to leave them there and come and visit with you and spend some time. What our family does, because our family is wired on a certain focus. My family has been wired from the time I was a small boy into pursuing the things of God, to pursuing the mission of God, pursuing the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, of talking about hope and love and grace and mercy that's not just simply for a select few, but for all. And I believe that very firmly, and our family believes that very firmly, that this is not just something for a handful of people, but that it's for everybody, that Christ died for all, and that there's a lot of people who still don't know him. I don't know about you. I've got a lot of folks in my family who do not know and have not experienced the grace of Christ. How about you? Fantastic. That's an opportunity. That means that there's still people that we have a mission here for. There's still people that Jesus has sent us here for. There's still a purpose that God has put us on this earth for, and it's for people who are far from God. My family, when I was a young boy, we went into ministry. My dad went into Bible seminary, into Bible college, and we had a passion, especially for those who are far from God all over the world. And so we started coming out of Alabama. We had moved from Chicago area. I'm originally from the Chicago area. We moved from Chicago down to Florida and then up to Alabama. And from there, we started working and visiting in Mexico and doing some work with churches in Mexico who were looking to reach out to those who were outcast and forgotten. I don't know, again, what your experience is, but there is a tendency at times for the church to go, hey, once we've finally gotten somewhere comfortable, once we finally have enough people, once we got some cool chairs, once we got a beautiful place, let's just squat here. It happens. It happens. I will tell you this. I believe this place is fantastic. I think it is a gift from God. I think God is just a blessing God and a generous God. And what an opportunity to worship and gather in a place like this. But I would also say that the mission of Jesus compels us never to just stay. And so we had this desire to work with churches and to serve the church and help the church to never get comfortable with what it has. To never just be comfortable with where you are. But to keep in the forefront of everything that we do, the mission that Jesus has called us to together. And so my family went and we worked in Mexico, and then shortly we were getting ready to move there. And my dad came and said, nope, we're going to actually, I've heard God speak to us, and we're actually going to move to Russia. The Soviet Union had just fallen. He said, we're going to move to Russia because there are millions of people who have never heard the name Jesus before. And someone has to do something about that. And our family united on mission together. And so I had this opportunity to grow up in this environment of evangelizing and preaching and sharing the love of Jesus. And listen, you know, for me, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in the home of a pastor. I grew up knowing that God loved me, knowing that God had a plan and a destiny for me. I didn't have some huge, you know, backstory of fallen, sinful, you know, horrible stuff. I wasn't like, you know, dancing on pool tables and swinging from chandeliers and doing crazy. You know, I didn't have that powerful story of here, how lost I was, and here, now I've been found. I didn't have that, but what I did have was the reality that we are all fallen, we are all broken, and that God's grace is true and good for us. And so we joined in mission together, and we went and moved from Russia to Ukraine. We ended up in Kharkov, Ukraine, city of just about 2 million people, second largest city in Ukraine, in the eastern side. Reaching people who had never heard the name Jesus before. And from that point, we have planted churches. I've been part of about 25 church plants. I've planted 5 churches. We've led more people to Christ than I know how to count, and to the point where you don't bother counting anymore because it's all about God, not about trying to get numbers to go, this is how many things I've done. We've discipled people. We have brought people into ministry. We have sent people out to go be evangelists. We have seen our churches plant churches that plant churches. We have seen the story of Jesus captivate and capture entire communities and neighborhoods. And we have seen the glory of God begin to shift and change and transform what a community and a neighborhood can look like. That gets me excited. And there's a tendency, again, to be comfortable. Well, you know, we did all that. Now we're good. Let's just chill out and relax. Find a group of people who will love you and just sort of be like, hey, we'll just get together every Sunday and sing some cool songs. But the love of Christ compels us. The Apostle Paul says it like this. We understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, and so we work hard and we persuade others to let them know that we're sincere from God. Sometimes it seems like we're crazy, and there have been people in our life who have said, we are crazy. When my wife and I first met, we met in Bible school in Virginia, and about a year later, we were married, and about 6 months after that, we were moving back to Ukraine to go plant churches at the age of 19. Crazy. That's a great conversation, by the way, with your parents. Hey, mom and dad, love you, leaving you, off on the mission of Jesus. But what about all this? What about all this? What about all this? God will work it out. We're going to go and pursue the mission of God. And my wife and I moved over in 2000. We went and planted churches together, and we helped entire communities be reached with the gospel of Jesus. It's crazy. And Paul even says here, he says, sometimes it seems like it's crazy, but Christ's love compels us. He said, and sometimes it seems like you're in your right mind. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Everything's completely as it should be. And Christ's love compels us. And here's where we started this morning. So either way, whether we are crazy for Jesus or being completely on level for Jesus, either way, Christ's love controls us. And since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have died to our old life. And he died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves, but instead they will live for Christ, who died and was raised up for them. And I just want to stop here, and I want to talk about just what Paul is saying here, because this is important. If we're going to live in the mission of Jesus, if we're going to journey in the mission of Jesus, which is about living your life where God has put you, in the way that he's put you, but in a completely radical and uncommon kind of way, then we're going to do it for something great. We're going to do it for something powerful. We're going to do it for what we call the kingdom of God. See, the mission of Jesus is all about the kingdom of God being established and being tangible and felt and visible here on this earth. I tell you what, I just drove through the streets of Harvey over the past couple of days. The kingdom of God is not visible and tangible here yet. And I've driven enough throughout this area to know that the kingdom of God is not fully visible and tangible here yet. And you know what? We just came out of Asheville, North Carolina, where we planted a church and spent 2 years in ministry working with people who were broken, poverty-driven, just in need, broken, heartache, pain, suffering, dysfunction. And I can tell you what, the kingdom of God is not fully established there yet. It's not fully tangible. It's not fully visible. And the prayer of our Lord Jesus was, let's pray together, Father, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth. And so when we talk about the mission of God, we talk about it not because we're going to be good Christians, not because we're wanting to be good people, not because we're trying to be super spiritual, not because we're trying to be overly holy. We talk about the mission of Jesus because it is how the kingdom of God visibly, tangibly, practically, demonstrably becomes part of a community. I don't know about you. I know a lot of good professional Christians. They are in my church every Sunday and only on Sunday. They're professionals. They know all the words to the songs. Oh, Amazing Grace. Don't worry about that. I don't need the lyrics. I'm good. Got that one right here. Professional. They know all the scriptures. For God so loved the world. Got that one. Check. Professional. But when you go, so how are you loving your neighbor? Don't have time for that. How are you reaching into the brokenness of the world around you? I'm real busy for that. The church is at a crossroads, brothers and sisters. We have spent decades becoming, at times, professional in our faith. We have spent decades becoming organized and structured. And at times we have actually become more organized and structured and professional at the cost of engaging in the mission of Jesus. I've met with a lot of churches where they are more interested in putting up a new building than they are in reaching the brokenhearted next door to them. We worked in a church in New England where we were getting ready to go spend about 500 grand building a building. But we wouldn't go into the trailer park that was 2 miles up the road because those kind of people may not feel comfortable here. That is where we have become professional. We know all the right words. We do all the right things. We say it. We're good. We're nice. We're morally, you know, bounded. We're visibly and socially balanced. But we have lost the heart of the mission of Jesus. And this is what Paul calls us back to this morning. It's what, for me and my family, this is what our heart is beating with. For us and for my challenge to churches, my challenge to anyone who would engage in mission, for any disciple of Jesus, for anyone who would call themselves a Christ follower, this would be my encouragement and challenge for you. Let the love of Christ compel you, because Christ died for all. And Paul even says it like this. He says, Christ died for all, and now you can be raised to new life in him. And so, because of that, we stop evaluating people from the point of life where they used to be. Man, I don't know about you. I would not want to constantly be evaluated for who I used to be and the mistakes that I have made at some point in my past. I will tell you this. I am not a perfect person. My wife will tell you otherwise. No, wait, she won't. My wife can affirm that I am not a perfect person. My wife knows that I am not perfect, but I'll tell you this, I had a moment, you know, as you do, you have these moments where in some type of passion, some type of zeal, some type of immaturity, you do something stupid. And I am so grateful to God that I am not evaluated by what I have done and what I used to be. Like I said, I may not have had some wild period of insane darkness, but man, I have had moments where I have failed and I have let God down. And God in his grace has lifted me back up. And see, we sometimes forget, though, in our professionalism, in our desire to look like good Christians, be good Christians, we start evaluating people in the way they don't look like us, act like us, sound like us, or think like us. And Paul would actually encourage us this morning to stop doing that. And he would say, Christ's love compels us. Christ died for all. And we don't evaluate people by who they used to be. See, the kingdom of God works differently than the kingdom that the world puts around us. Yes? We're familiar with that. We agree with that the kingdom of God is different. It works a little upside down. It works a little uncommon. It works a little bit backwards, right? Because in the kingdom of God, who is first? Jesus said it. The first shall be. Blessed are the. You could just throw them out there, right? The poor. Blessed are the downtrodden. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are those who mourn. Wait, why? Why? Why are they blessed? Why? Because the grace and the gospel and the kingdom of God is ready to impact their life. They're not blessed because they're in suffering. They're blessed because God in his mercy and his grace has sent people, you and me, churches, disciples of Jesus on mission with him in community to those who are crying out desperately for something. That's blessed. Listen, I sat with a guy last night, Pastor Rick and I, we were up and just chilling out, sitting on a bench at about 11:30, and we were getting ready to head up to bed, and we'd just been enjoying the evening together and praying and just thinking a little bit, chatting a lot, and around the corner came a couple, and gentleman had probably been drinking a tad bit, just a tad, and they came around the corner, and we said, hey, how are you guys doing? You want to come sit down? And we ended up talking to them, and we ended up having a conversation with them, and they said, what are you guys doing here? First, they want to know if we were cops. Like, you dress like a cop. I said, I do not know what that means, but that is awesome. And I'm sorry. I will find a way to approve that and then remedy it. I said, but, you know, we just started talking. He's like, all right, you guys, for real, what are you doing here? I said, we're here to help people discover a new way to live. I said, we're here to help people find their place in the story of God. We're here to help people move from this old way to something greater. We want to help people find a life of significance, meaning, hope, joy. He goes, where are you doing this? This sounds awesome. I said, Harvey. He goes, oh, that's never going to work. He used a phrase I can't say here. But let's just say Harvey wasn't at the top of his list. He said, I've been in Harvey. He goes, I'm from Harvey. He goes, that'll never work in Harvey. That kind of stuff doesn't happen there. I said, why not? He goes, because the people are hopeless. They're lazy. They have no purpose. He goes, they got no money. I said, well, you know, I said, we're a bit of a different kind of group. I said, we're not really interested in their money. I'm actually really interested in their pain in the sense of holding it against them. And I'm not interested necessarily in their past and what they've done. but I'm interested in their future and where they go from here. We started talking, we started sharing this idea of what if a church, we didn't put it in the terms of a church with its religious worship service. I said, what if a community of people went out loving, showing compassion, living out what we would call the Beatitudes, that message of Jesus, the core manifesto. Listen, if you want to know what the kingdom of God looks like, go look at the Beatitudes, because it's Jesus' statement, it's his mission statement of what the kingdom of God is going to be like. And it's not that we're all supposed to be broken and downtrodden and completely crushed. It's the idea that all of us, wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, that knowledge that grace has come, hope is finally here, and anything is possible because of God. And he goes, huh, I'd go back to Harvey for that. Christ's love compels us. Christ died for all. And so we stop evaluating others from this point of view, this kingdom where everything works differently, where the first is last, where the poor are actually blessed, where the suffering and the mourner has hope and joy. It's because the kingdom of God is meant to be lived out tangibly. It is not an ethereal place that we hope to get to someday. We confuse heaven with the kingdom of God. We keep trying to die to go to heaven, and God is going, establish my kingdom here. And all this is a gift from God, who has brought us back to Christ for himself. And God has given us then this task of reconciling people to him. The scripture that we read it in, the version we read it in, says, and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, if you're gonna be a follower of Jesus, then you become part of the kingdom of God. If you're gonna be part of the kingdom of God, then you have been called and invited by Jesus to engage in the mission of God, which is going to be bringing people who are far from him, bringing people who are lost without him, bringing people who today in this moment are gonna be hopeless and alone back into relationship with the Father who loves him. And we're going to do it a couple of different ways. This is what I love about how Paul puts it. He says, for God was in Christ and he reconciled the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And so we together, we as the family of God, we together as the disciples of Jesus, we together as the church are God's ambassadors here in this world. Listen, I told this guy, I said, listen, CP, here's the thing, man. I said, you may say, F Harvey, for lack of a better word. I said, but I say for Harvey. I say love Harvey. The kingdom of God in Harvey. Because it's about reconciling Harvey back to God and seeing the love of Jesus transform a city with its power. Are you with me? I love Paul. And here's what I love about Paul. Is because we believe the scriptures, because we believe what the scriptures are telling us, we believe that what Paul dealt with in his day when he was first writing this to a church in Corinth, that what he was facing in his day with all the struggles and all of the people who were struggling with their lives in a broken government and a broken political system, I've heard that there's one here in Harvey, a little bit of some political systems that are a little woo-hoo, right? Paul's dealing with Romans, man. Paul's dealing with people, if you disagreed, they crucified your butt. That's where they were. That's the kind of thing they did. You disagree with the Romans, they crucify you. So Paul's dealing with political systems of unrest. Paul's dealing with people who are lost in weird philosophies and with weird different ways of viewing world and faith and spirituality. Paul is lost with people who are viewing Jesus as someone different. Paul has been here. Paul was here. So the scriptures matter to us today, because this isn't just a reminder of something that happened a couple thousand years ago when a nice guy sitting in a jail cell wrote out a penned letter to some believer sitting in a hut. Paul writes this for us today because we're a church sitting in the middle of an area that is broken and lost without God. And I would invite you and I would challenge you this morning, I would encourage you to take to heart the message of Paul, which is the greater message of Jesus. Quit looking at people for who they were. And first and foremost, look at people as the image of God and who they can be through him again. That's number one. Secondly, Jesus, talking with his disciples, preaching the gospel, the book of Matthew, the gospel of Matthew tells us that Jesus went everywhere preaching the gospel. And as he did, he healed the sick, he preached repentance, he called people to a different way to live, and it says, and he had compassion on them. because they were like lost sheep wandering without a shepherd. Your church has a fantastic mission statement, and what a fantastic name to be the Shepherd's Church here in Harvey, calling people who are lost and wandering back to know the love of a father. Paul's words remind us of this, and I'm just going to close with this, and I want you to reflect on it. I want you to think on it. Holy Spirit, speak to us in this moment. Speak into our hearts, because we want to hear your word today. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the heart of ministry is the mission of Jesus. It's about redemption and reconciliation. And so therefore, it is a mission of invitation. As we go from this place today, I would encourage you to consider how you're living out the mission of invitation. Who are you inviting? And I don't mean who are you handing a card to and saying, come to my church service at 10:30. I mean, who are you inviting into your home? Who are you inviting into your life, into your rhythm? Who are you meeting for coffee? Saying, hey, man, I heard that you're having a bad day. Let's get together. Hey, I heard that you've been having some trouble at home. Let's get together. Man, I heard your kid's having a little bit of a hard time in school. Let's get together. A lot of times we get, especially in churches, we get good at invite people to church, and we want that 10 o'clock service or 10:30 service. That's our invite. No, I'm taking the mission of Jesus is about invitation, which is about how does my life connect to your life, and how do we share this together so that God is glorified and grace is experienced. Secondly, we do remember it is equal grace. We are all in this together. None of us are better. We are one at the table of Jesus. We're sinners lost and broken in need of a Savior. And thirdly, I would remind you and encourage you that no one should have to be fake or fixed in order to be loved. Let me say that again. No one should have to be fake or fixed in order to be loved. We wouldn't do it to our kids, right? Hey, kid. Not until you're either exactly what I want you to be or you pretend. Then you're welcome in my home. No, we wouldn't do that. So quit doing it to people. No one has to be fake or fixed to be loved. And because of that reality, God has a purpose that he's called us here for. Systems aren't going to change this community. Great programming is not going to change this community. Churches are already here doing that kind of stuff. Good churches aren't necessarily going to change a community. People who join in the mission of Jesus, living out invitation, grace, and purpose. That changes lives one at a time. And lives together changed one at a time starts to change neighborhoods. And neighborhoods changed one at a time start to change community. I'm for Harvey. Let's love Harvey. And let's bring God glory in Harvey. Amen. May the God of peace be with us this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Gracious God, we are so grateful for your spirit and for sending Jesus. Father, we are just so thankful for your grace. We are thankful for your hope. And we ask God that today would be an opportunity to see your grace and your kingdom come in this neighborhood, in this community, in this city. In the name of Christ we pray, amen and amen. Peace be to you all.